The sun beat down through a sky that had never seen clouds. The wind swept across an earth as smooth as glass. Night never came, and autumn never gave way to winter. It never rained. The simulated weather in Edward Lorenz's new electronic computer changed slowly but certainly, drifting through a permanent dry midday mid-season, as if the world had turned into Camelot, or some particularly bland version of Southern California. Outside his window, Lorenz could watch real weather, the early morning fog creeping along the Massachusetts Institute of Technology campus, or the low clouds slipping over the rooftops from the Atlantic. Fog and clouds never arose in the model running on his computer. The machine, a Royal McBee, was a thicket of wiring and vacuum tubes that occupied an ungainly portion of Lorenz's office, made a surprising and irritating noise, and broke down every week or so. It had neither the speed nor the memory to manage a realistic simulation of the Earth's atmosphere and oceans. Yet Lorenz created a toy weather in 1960 that succeeded in mesmerizing his colleagues. Every minute the machine marked the passing of a day by printing a row of numbers across a page. If you knew how to read the printouts, you would see a prevailing westerly wind swing now to the north, now to the south, now back to the north. Digitized cyclones spun slowly around an idealized globe. As word spread through the department, the other meteorologists would gather around with the graduate students, making bets on what Lorenz's weather would do next. Somehow, nothing ever happened the same way twice. Lorenz enjoyed weather, by no means a prerequisite for a research meteorologist. He savored its changeability. He appreciated the patterns that come and go in the atmosphere, families of eddies and cyclones, always obeying mathematical rules yet never repeating themselves. When he looked at clouds, he thought he saw a kind of structure in them. Once, he had feared that studying the science of weather would be like prying a jack-in-the-box apart with a screwdriver. Now, he wondered whether science would be able to penetrate the magic at all. Weather had a flavor that could not be expressed by talking about averages. The daily high temperature in Cambridge, Massachusetts averages 75 degrees in June. The number of rainy days in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia averages 10 a year. Those were statistics. The essence was the way the patterns in the atmosphere changed over time. And that was what Lorenz captured on the Royal McBee. He was the god of this machine universe, free to choose the laws of nature as he pleased. After a certain amount of undivine trial and error, he chose 12. They were numerical rules, equations that expressed the relationships between temperature and pressure, between pressure and wind speed. Lorenz understood that he was putting into practice the laws of Newton, appropriate tools for a clockmaker deity who could create a world and set it running for eternity. Thanks to the determinism of physical law, further intervention would then be unnecessary. Those who made such models took for granted that, from present to future, the laws of motion provide a bridge of mathematical certainty. Understand the laws, and you understand the universe. That was the philosophy behind modeling weather on a computer. Indeed, if the 18th century philosophers imagined their creator as a benevolent non-interventionist, content to remain behind the scenes, they might have imagined someone like Lorenz. He was an odd sort of meteorologist. He had the worn face of a Yankee farmer with surprising bright eyes that made him seem to be laughing whether he was or not. He seldom spoke about himself or his work, but he listened. He often lost himself in a realm of calculation or dreaming that his colleagues found inaccessible. His closest friends felt that Lorenz spent a good deal of time off in a remote outer space. As a boy, he had been a weather bug, at least to the extent of keeping close tabs on the max min thermometer, recording the day's highs and lows outside his parents' house in West Hartford, Connecticut. But he spent more time inside playing with mathematical puzzle books than watching the thermometer. Sometimes he and his father would work out puzzles together. Once, they came upon a particularly difficult problem that turned out to be insoluble. That was acceptable, his father told him. You can always try to solve a problem by proving that no solution exists. Lorenz liked that. as he always liked the purity of mathematics. And when he graduated from Dartmouth College in 1938, he thought that mathematics was his calling. Circumstance interfered, however, in the form of World War II, which put him to work as a weather forecaster for the Army Air Corps. After the war, Lorenz decided to stay with meteorology, investigating the theory of it, pushing the mathematics a little further forward. He made a name for himself by publishing work on orthodox problems, such as the general circulation of the atmosphere, and in the meantime, he continued to think about forecasting.